Welcome to On the Beat, where we bring you a different Buffalo Bills beat reporter every week, exclusively on the Overreaction Sports Network.
Well, what is going on, everybody? Welcome. Welcome, everybody, into On the Beat, brought to you, as Bruce Nolan just said, exclusively on the Overreaction Sports Network, a show where we bring you an exclusive interview with a different Bills beat reporter every single week, talking about the topic swirling around our beloved Buffalo Bills. My name is Joe Miller. You can find me on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired, alongside my co-host today, former Buffalo Bills offensive tackle and one third of this thing that we call the Overreaction Sports Network, maybe less, my good friend John Vita.
Hey!
We're excited to have all of you guys with us. Please do us a favor. Please like, please subscribe. We're so excited that you are here. Now joining us, Buffalo Bills beat reporter for ESPN. Yes, that ESPN, now entering her fourth season covering our favorite football team here in Western New York, which she has told us, admittedly, she loves it in Buffalo. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Elena Getzenberg to the program. Elena, how are you?
I'm doing well. That was crazy that you said this will be my fourth season. It does not sound like that.
I was surprised as well. I was like, 2021? I creeped your LinkedIn page, by the way, just so you know.
That's why it's there. But yes, that's apparently true. I did start my first official day with ESPN was the Friday before week one of the 2021 season. So it was like, I got a real, like, just thrown in there. But it's crazy to say. But yes, happy to be here. So
yeah, and no drought. You didn't get any drought.
No drought.
Wow. I escaped it. I got a great start.
Yeah, you got to skip that 17 years of pain that we all lived through.
So I guess the question is, and if you don't mind me saying, where you're originally from, is that okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So being from Pittsburgh, which is not that far away, 2.5 hours from Buffalo, which I'm sure is great from a family standpoint, you get the call, you do the interviews, you get the call, ESPN, oh my God, I'm going to ESPN. And then it's like, you're going to be the beat reporter for the Bills. First thought.
Well, the call came. So I'm close with Marcel Loujac, who's obviously had this role before me. And, you know, I knew him and he hadn't mentioned anything about leaving. And then all of a sudden I get a call from my now boss being like, all she said was, how do you feel about Buffalo? And I was like, I don't know. How do I feel about Buffalo? I was like stunned because I didn't know Marcel was on the move and all this stuff. Right. I will be honest, I was hesitant. I didn't know if I could handle the weather and like some of the things like that. But I was also like, I came from covering the Carolina Panthers. And one thing I like to say, especially with now covering the Bills, is it is really cool to cover a team where like the fans and this city care so much. Because with the Panthers, sometimes it was like, there would be a game that Sunday, you'd be like, yeah, I have to go cover a football game. And like, none of my friends would know that there was like a game happening. Like, it wasn't like, yeah, it's not as big deal in Charlotte. So it's very nice to be in a place. And that's not everyone. There's lots of Panthers fans and all that, but that's not Buffalo. So it's nice to be in a place where like, I've really enjoyed, like, it's everything. And I think it comes with pros, cons, but it's something I've really enjoyed about it.
That's a pretty cool perspective. I think, you know, as a fan base, you know, I just want to believe that they're all like Buffalo Bills fans, like they're like the mafia. And when you find out that that's not the case, or it's 50% or 75, you feel a little bit bad for them, right? I mean, I do. You should really embrace it, and you know, it should be part of your identity. And to think, well, I live in Carolina. I don't know. Is it even football season? I didn't even know there was a home game. Like, who are you?
It's such a college basketball and like college sport, you know, like the Carolinas and stuff. But like, they're of course like very passionate Panthers fans. It's just like, you know, with different fan bases, some are like, you know, this Panthers are also a newer team. So I think that is a component of it that like you have to keep in mind. But yeah, but there's also like, there's NFL fan bases and then there's like Bills fans. It's a whole different thing. So, and that's
shout out to the Bills Mafia from Elena Getzenberg.
That is so, they're so strong in a way that like I had like prepared myself and then they blew it out of proportions. So
That's awesome. And you also are, you love the change of seasons we talked about. Now, food. So where have you gravitated? So Buffalo has a lot of charm, but you got to find it, right? If you move here from, you know, Arizona or Southern California or someplace really nice, South Florida, and like you don't engage yourself, you're going to hate it here and be miserable forever. But if you find the charm, so food wise, where have you gravitated towards? And it doesn't have to be local necessarily, like, oh, chicken wings, like, right? So where do you find yourself kind of fitting that way culture wise?
There's so much food I love in Buffalo. I think that was a really underrated thing. Like, one of my favorite places, I love the Grange out in Hamburg. One of my favorites for sure. Wayland is a new brewery out in Orchard Park area that I really like. It's a newer one, but I like that a lot. I'm in Elmwood Village, so basically I walk everywhere. Elmwood Village and Allentown is my vibe. I think there's so many good spots. I love that I can just walk to like five different options right here for dinner. So that's a good thing. There's like, I could list many places I like here.
I love it. You're an Elmwood girl. I was an Elmwood girl myself. I love Elmwood.
What?
Yeah, I love it up here. So there's so much food. And I think like, that's what I try to tell people when they're like, oh, what wings are you eating all the time? I'm like, no, there's so many good. So I have been blown away. Alan Burger Venture is one ABV. Of my favorites as well. ABV. Yes. Yep. I could list wing places too, but I would say like, I've been really pleasantly surprised by the depth of the food in Buffalo.
There was actually more in Allentown and around Buffalo, and COVID killed a bunch. Like there was a lot of great, like super like farm to table, like super like detailed, like chef type food that COVID. Yeah. Dabutsu's gone. There's a lot of places that like were around Buffalo that are gone now, but we could probably talk. We could probably spend the whole 30 minutes talking about just Buffalo culture and stuff like that. Cause John lived downtown. He's one of the few Bills players that went in his tenure, like lived downtown, loves Buffalo, loves the city. I'm actually son of Buffalo kid. We could talk about this forever, but nonetheless, we have to move on and we got to talk some Buffalo Bills, right? We got to move a little further south into Orchard Park and talk about the Buffalo Bills. So big news of the day, and it's not huge news, but it's news. You know, the Buffalo Bills today announced that they moved on from Tommy Doyle, who's had some injury issues, and, you know, huge man. I've met him a couple of different times. Super nice guy. And they signed undrafted rookie free agent Shane Simon, linebacker out of Pittsburgh, who was invited in for a tryout. What do you make of the Bills moving on from Doyle? And is this kind of the end of the road for him, or do you see, or are you hearing something else?
I think it can be. I think when they make, you know, it was interesting to see Tommy, again, echoing what you said, one of the nicest guys. Like, yes. I think that's worth noting. He is a really nice guy who has had some really, really unfortunate injury luck that just, it's almost like a, not the same as Tre'Davious White, but something along that line where it's like, just cannot stay healthy. And I think when you see a move like this, I don't think it's like, we're not going to sit here and say it's 100% the end of the road or anything like that. But, you know, if he does not get claimed, he will be put on injured reserve. Right. And then that does end his season unless they come to an injury settlement. But, you know, then he's probably not coming back with the Bills. So it's a tough one. It's one where he wasn't participating during OTAs when the media was there the past couple of weeks. He just wasn't there yet. And it's interesting. They signed a linebacker. Dorian Williams was not participating in practice today. So maybe they needed another body there. And Matt Milano obviously is not back. Out there, he's working to the side still, so not someone who's fully out there. So they felt like they needed another body there, and it's unfortunate that, you know, Tommy couldn't get healthy at the right time. So never say never, I would say, but it's certainly the kind of move where you go, okay, if he's on injured reserve, that tells you a lot.
Yeah. John, do you have a question, or can I go ahead?
Yeah, I think that, you know, that it's interesting. I mean, the game takes a beating, even if you never really see the field. I mean, you're just a big guy putting on a lot of weight, lifting a lot of weights and all that exercise. You know, the injuries just spring up. You know, they just, you just, anything and everything, and it could just get exacerbated. And you just, you know, fighting through it. It's luck and timing, and sometimes luck isn't great, but we wish him the best. You know, you brought up OTAs, and it's been pretty damn well attended by the players, right? I mean, it's been, you know, a full camp, so to speak. You know, you get to mix and mingle with the team, and, you know, what's your opinion? And maybe give us a little bit of insight into your favorite sound bites or exchanges with some of the players.
Yeah, it's been interesting. So to your point, the only person I haven't seen, there's been 3 weeks of OTAs. The media has had one day of, I think it's good to explain kind of what we get to see. So the media has gotten to go every Tuesday of that week, and that's the availability we get for the week. So of those days, the only player I have not or has not been there when we were there is Rasul Douglas. So he's the only one who has not been there at all. It'll be very interesting. He should show up next week for mandatory minicamp. Haven't heard otherwise, and we will see if that's the case. But yeah, otherwise, the attendance has been really good. Of course, guys missing here and there, but nothing like that. That's what happens this time of year. That's not surprising. I think it's been interesting because we're watching this. It's a totally different team. Like, of course, there's the Josh is there, Taron John. You know, like there's guys who were there before. But feels different. It does feel different because it's, there's different people who are loud. Like Mac Hollins is one of the loudest people out on the field. And like, he's new and he's kind of making his presence known. And I think that's really interesting. Like who stands up in these situations. So he's someone who's really stood out to me. And then it's just, it's weird not seeing like Jordan Poyer out there running around and like being that presence out there. And that is just because guys like him are those noticeable presence out on the practice field, like not having them has been interesting to see. But there's other guys stepping up, like Taron Johnson's definitely someone who's stepping into a more vocal role early, I would say. You're seeing guys like the the defensive lineman up front, Ed Oliver, certainly always chatting. So, you know, that's going on too. And it's interesting because there are still so many veterans on the defensive line. So I think that's an interesting balance there too. In terms of sound bites, there's been so much. I think it's been interesting to hear from Josh, something that has stood out to me throughout, that he is telling us that he's taking different leadership steps than he has in the past. And I think that's like, we could code over that. And yes, of course, Josh Allen will always be a leader of this team, that kind of thing. But the fact that he's being intentional about doing things differently, like trying to interact with guys he might not have before, I think that's actually super important and like something that it's great that he's doing and he should be doing. And it's a reflection of maybe him taking yet another step in his kind of leadership of this team. I think it's been really interesting. I had a really good conversation with Tyler Bass today, just about like, first of all, like how his off season was, and you know, obviously didn't end on the note. He got married, yes.
I had to think for a second, like, or was that last year? Like, it all blends together at some point. Got married.
He got this new home base in Florida, where he's kind of like got a steady environment, and he's, you know, kind of be able to process and move on from obviously how the season ended, and he's also adjusting. There's this element where he's adjusting to these new kickoff rules, where he said like it's a whole different kind of kick for him, and he's like had to go back to a kick he did back in high school that's more like soccer. And it's like so interesting. Like, I think that's an underrated part too, where like today they did practice some kickoff things. I can't say much, but like seeing how the experiment with that has been
the new one, the new version.
How they are experimenting with that. So I would say the big takeaway, sorry, that was a lot to say, but
no, it's good.
The big takeaway for me would be that like, it feels new. It does feel different. Like, I think that's just how it is, but there's also like the familiar beats are there. Like, it's still a Sean McDermott practice. It's still got these cues going on. This, a lot of the same people are leading it in the way of Josh and, you know, those defensive linemen. Von Miller's always going to be one of those guys, but there are these new faces that are being vocal and are kind of making their presence known, and they're not kind of shying away from taking over those spots. So it's been interesting to see.
It is not talked about enough, the fact that Tyler Bass, yes, he got married, but do you know who he got married to? Do you guys talk about it on the beat at all?
He got married.
He got married to Rick Tootin's daughter, Rick Rootin Tootin, former punter for the Buffalo Bills.
That's hilarious.
He got married to Rick Tootin's daughter. So he is a Buffalo Bill now married to a girl that was probably born in Buffalo.
Wow.
I even knew his fiance's name, when now his wife's name, but I did not put that together. So I'm so glad you pointed that out.
Yeah. Next time you talk to him.
Rick Tootin predates me. Joe, you must have been like 10 years old.
Well, I just remember sitting in the stands next to my dad, and my dad always going, Rick, rootin' tootin'. Like, he just always, amazing. Yeah. So my dad always had nicknames for guys. Or he would pick up the nicknames that other people had. But I always thought that that was a wild thing that nobody ever really picked up on, is the fact that he married Rick Tootin's daughter. But talk to me about the kick thing. You said he's changed. Yeah. He's gone to a different kick. You need to break that down, because that's information nobody's talking about. So,
well,
yeah,
I think it's in with respect to the new kickoff rule. He's got to work on a different stroke, a different placement, right?
Whether yes, exactly.
You treat it like a squib or an onside, or you want to put it up in the air. You know, I'm sure there's a myriad ways you can handle that.
So not place kicking. So
yes,
actually kicking.
I should. Okay. I apologize for no. This is based on the kickoff.
Yeah, it's gotcha.
Not his field goal kicking. That's not changing from what he said from a physical perspective. No, the kickoff rules are kind of changing his kicking on that perspective, like how he approaches kickoffs, because they also has to go a certain distance, and there's like, so he can't do those same booming kicks you would traditionally see from him. So I think that's where he's kind of like, basically he said right now they're just experimenting and kind of just trying different things to see how it'll work, because this kickoff rule like prevents all kinds of opportunities. And it's interesting because like you're seeing the Chiefs discuss like if Harrison Butker like will even be out there like kicking, or like will they have their kicker out there. And Tyler talked about how they've had discussions like if he'll be tackling more, or like if, you know, if he'll be thrown into those positions. So it was interesting to hear him kind of talk about that. I hadn't really thought about like the kick itself, like having to really change that much, but it is changing his approach to actually kicking the ball on those kickoffs. But he said he was excited about it. So it'll be really cool. And they're definitely going to be trying out. It'll be interesting to see how much we see in camp that we can really dive into, like the different approaches they're taking to this.
These guys are still football coaches. So you get a rule change, and they're going to take every avenue and investigate any way they possibly can do it. Down to the minute detail. How can we turn this into an advantage? They're probably watching loads of tape, and you know, they got like, they're probably using AI. What if we do this and see what the result is? Put it in chat GPT and see how it turns out.
That's funny. That's the one thing that has not been covered much by the media, or even like what we call hobbyist, like content creators like us, is just because nobody knows what's going to happen. So it'll be interesting to see how that whole thing plays out.
Yeah.
Bobby Babich today had his first press conference. New Buffalo Bills, a defensive coordinator, Babich. First press conference since being named the Bills DC. What were your first impressions? That to me, I have my own first impression, and John and Jerry, I think, have some connection to his father. So there's some connection there. But what were your first impressions of Bobby Babich?
Yeah, he's someone who, like when I was talking about people who are loud on the football field, Bobby Babich is very loud at practice. You can hear him from like, you could probably be like all the way like down by the new stadium, and you might
Von
hear Bobby
that.
Babich.
Von said that today. Von was like, you can always hear Bobby yelling.
Yeah, can confirm. He's very loud. He's got so much energy. Like Bobby, like when he talks, I'm like, all right, I got to go do something. Like, what do I need to go accomplish? I think he's a very good, he was a speaker who's like, he's got his clear thoughts. He's got his ideals. And I think he did a good job today of like expressing that. He has so much energy, especially going from, I really enjoyed covering Eric Washington. He's someone who I think is a really great human being and a good football coach. And a lot of players on the team really, really have had very high things to say about him. But there's something about Bobby where he's just got this like energy that like we're not maybe used to in that space, and he was ready to go. And it's an interesting thing where I could see from like a player perspective, like wanting to like run through a wall for him. Like, I don't know, that's how I came across, was like feeling very energized. And definitely, you know, he's someone who I thought it was really cool that he acknowledged that like he's gonna make mistakes. And you know, obviously that's comes with a new job, comes with a new role, but for him to say that like, yeah, this is not going to go perfectly, like I'm going to make mistakes and that's how I'll learn, and to be very upfront about that, I thought that was a really cool thing that we don't hear very often.
That's good. I would like to dovetail
on that. I think it's a great thing to have a vocal leader like that, when especially when he's defensive coordinator. You know, a lot of times players, depending on how their coach handles them and handles the room, the position group, you tend to think, I don't know where I stand. You know, there's a little bit of murkiness. But when somebody tends to be loud, when they tend to be directive, intentional, then, you know, you start to, you realize that everything is out there in the open. And I think that keeps players relaxed. It keeps them loose. And, you know, their expectations that they're going to be engaged often and vocally, I think is a good thing in the end. And sure, he's going to make mistakes, but I mean, they all do. I don't care if they're 3 years into the league or 35 years into the league. You know, the game moves so fast. There's so little opportunity. And the time between plays and the decisions you have to make, there's just no – you can't really pitch a perfect game.
Yeah, it's 100% true. I found him very confident. And as a person that is often accused of being arrogant, that I tell people is, no, it's confidence. You know, don't mistake my confidence for arrogance. I felt that with him, that he's a very confident individual. Obviously, there's a pedigree there, but there was humility too, which that was your point. Like when he talked about just, I'm going to make mistakes. I'm as ready as I'm going to be right now without having done it. And why would I not be in McDermott's ear? He's been doing this for so long. Like, there was a lot of humility there. Super, super excited about him. Yeah. I don't know if you've got anything else to share just about Bobby Babich before we go on, but yeah.
No, I think it's been one thing, takeaway I've had, like just trying to ask guys who've coached under him before, like, are they excited? You know, like they, what do they think of like the hiring? And like, it's not often that you get like a universal, like, I think the guys seem to really, based on players I've talked to, really enjoy playing for him. Yeah. And I do think that's important because I don't know. We saw some last year. There were obviously, it wasn't perfect, like Sean calling the plays, and you know, we can, that's a, probably a whole nother conversation, like how last year went with the defense and all that kind of stuff. But I think it's really important to have like Bobby being able to shape some of these defensive things that Sean doesn't really have the time for, and like shouldn't have the time for. And he seems really intentional about like how he wants to do things, and he's already got the respect of the players. So I think they're definitely like, I thought that hiring made a lot of sense. And like each thing I'm hearing about it, like, I think continues to show that to be the case.
It'll be interesting to see where it goes, just in as much as I was one of the few critics last year that said, since Sean McDermott has started taking over play calling, that like the fine detail in certain aspects of the other areas of the team seem to wane a little bit. I don't know that I got a lot of agreement in that. It's just something that I felt. I just felt like there wasn't as much fine detail where the head coach is kind of in that stuff. So we'll kind of see how this goes. But John, you were going to say something?
Well, I would agree with that. You don't have enough bandwidth to be a head coach and a DC or an OC. Somebody has to be in the ear managing the game. Well, you were talking about, you know, the guy is definitely has a plan, right? He's intentional. He knows what he's doing. What's he going to do with Gabe Stevenson? I mean, where does he fit, right? He never played football, was a wrestler, fits the McDermott profile, if you will, but where does he fit on the field? I don't know. Is he a fullback? Is he a linebacker? Is he a special teams guy? I mean, what are you seeing with that? What's your insight on that one?
It is wild because I can say, like, I wanted to take a picture of him with the rest of the defensive tackles because that is the group they had him with today. And like, to be like, look at him. It's not even, yes, he's shorter than all of the defensive tackles. 6'1". Yes. Yep. And it is, when you see him next, it's like, I am a very short person. I am 5'5". I am very short. I can acknowledge that.
You are short. My God, you're like a hood ornament.
I am very short. I don't shy away from that. But today, out loud at practice, I was like, wow, he's short. And like, he's short compared to the position, people at the position he's trying to make the roster at.
Even short compared to Ed Oliver.
Yeah.
Well, what's crazy is, go ahead.
Well, it's also height in a different way. We're like, he's built so differently than the rest of the defensive tackles. Like, his weight is so, like, his thighs are huge. Like, he's, like, built lower down than, like, a defensive tackle you would normally. Like, he's not built like a defensive tackle at all. Like, when you see him next to them, it's like, he is the outlier in this group, and it's very clear. So it's going to be really interesting. That's where he was today. He did not really take the field much in team drills as he's learning the position for the first time. He does not know how to play football. And there were like times like during when the defensive tackles, you know, like when the D line was doing their drills, where like he took a feet, and like a coach would like show him something and like do extra things with him. So they're clearly like having to put, which makes sense, of course, he's never played football before. They're having to like show him these extra things. And this is one to me where like, man, this is an uphill battle to they'll see how it goes, is the vibe here.
You know, Elena, I coach JV football, and sometimes, you know, I'm talking to the defensive tackles or even the offensive linemen. I'm like, you know, you've got, this is the A gap. This is where we want to run the ball, or this is the B gap. And I get these quizzical looks, and I'm like, do you guys know the gaps? And they're like, no. And I'm like, okay, let's back up a little bit. I can't imagine doing it with a grown man. You're like, A gap, B gap, C gap.
Yes.
Like rudimentary football. You know, there's probably like a series of YouTube videos he could watch, like maybe from like Khan Academy does football. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah. It's what's amazing. It was not announced, but it was mentioned that he had never put on cleats before. Never put on cleats before. So the just trying to work through that. And then to listen to Ed Oliver beam about him, like pine on about how like we go out there as 11 and we win as a team. That dude is the greatest in the world at what he does for 8 minutes. And it's like, he clearly has the respect.
I love it.
Yeah. It can be a really, really cool story that he's an Olympic gold. Like that's so unique. And obviously there is he here if Sean McDermott doesn't love his wrestling? Like, I don't know. But that's certainly an element, because he, like, after practice was spending time with, there were a couple other defensive linemen out there too, but spending time with Gable, like, specifically, like, showing some moves and, like, comparing to wrestling and that kind of thing, because Sean uniquely has that background. But it's also, we can also be realistic and be like, he's not, not only, I mean, we can get into the physicals. The built thing is one thing, but it's like you said, like it's knowing the game and learning that to the ability to be competitive on an NFL roster. It feels, it's quite the hill to climb. It is a very, very difficult thing to be able to pick that up that quickly. So it won't be an easy task.
Having a wonderful conversation with Elena Getzenberg, Bills beat reporter from ESPN. Got a couple more minutes with you. Got a couple different ways we could go, and I would love to get both the segments in, both about Joe Brady and Josh Allen. I'm going to save that for the next part. I would love to get just a real quick kind of around the league, just a quick thought from you as it pertains to wide receiver salaries, because we just saw the Bills jettison Stephon Diggs. The Bills just said, hey, we're not going to pay you, or we're not going to take a $28 million hit to have you on our roster. We're going to take a $31 million hit to move you from our roster. And we've seen Waddle recently sign a three-year, $84 million contract, while the Dolphins are already paying Tyreek Hill $31 million. And now Drew Rosenhaus wants like to get them more money, or him more money. Justin Jefferson shatters the record, 4 years, $140 million, like, what is it, $35 million a year. These numbers just seem incredibly not sustainable when you talk about Jaylen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, and Tua, who's going to get $55, $110 million for three players out of $250. Just a quick when you read that, even as a reporter, like, where's your head at?
It's crazy. And it's also it also demonstrates that there's not just one way of team building. I think we're seeing that in a lot of ways around the league, where it's like also this Brandon Ayuk thing is like fascinating to see how that plays out with their plethora of wide receivers in San Francisco. But I think the thing with the Dolphins that stands out to me is they've got definitely an uphill battle to climb with like figuring out paying these guys. And, you know, we saw the move on from a bunch of defensive guys this offseason. They were veterans who probably, you know, were more costly and that kind of thing. So choosing who you're paying is clear here. And I also think it's just this wide receiver market is going to continue to go up. We're seeing these guys get paid. I don't think the Bills are adverse to paying a wide receiver just because they moved on from Steph. I think they wanted the decision was more based on wanting the money to hit this year versus next year, and like wanting that off their plate for next year. So like, that doesn't mean that they're not going to sign like a big time, they won't pay a wide receiver next year. That's just, they won't have the Steph money on their books as much anymore. So it's a really interesting thing where like, I don't totally understand what the Dolphins are doing. I'm being honest, like from like a step back perspective, it's like at some point, like you need money to do other things. And Tua's about to get that's going to be a big, big deal.
The Tua was, you would think that they were expecting the Tua, but they clearly chose Waddle over Van Ginkel and Christian Wilkins. Like they choose, they chose Waddle over their defense, right?
It's crazy. Yeah. I got to think that they see the Bills sort of retooling, not rebuilding. And if there's any chance at all to win the East, this has got to be it. So, like people said, oh, the Bills window's closing. Part of that discussion was the salary cap, right? Who do you got to let go? So maybe that's what they see. If the Bills might be leveling a little bit, maybe they think this is their chance to win the East and, go deep into the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. Last couple minutes here with Elena Getzenberg from ESPN. Elena, do us before I ask you again in the next quick segment, if it's okay if we keep you for a couple more minutes. This has just been a great conversation. Do me a favor, tell everybody where they can find you, where they can find your stuff, and if you've got any pieces or hit pieces coming out, if you want to just talk about that real quick where people can find it, that'd be great.
Yeah. So on Twitter, I'm at A Getzenberg. It's a lot of E's. On ESPN.com, there is a Bills page. It's like ESPN.com/NFL and Bills, and you'll find it from there. Got a bunch of stuff coming out. Like I said, I did talk to Tyler Bass for a reason. That story won't be coming out for a bit down the line, but definitely have some stuff for the off season. We're planning we've got news every week and that kind of thing, but we're in the off season. The period between now and camp, have some stuff working on, including something on Tyler and a couple other guys. Got a Kyir Elam stuff will get up this week. Just a bunch of different guys we're going to be hitting on, working on something on Keon Coleman that we'll have in a little bit. So definitely a lot of fun stuff coming. And I'm really excited to plug the coverage this season and stuff. Not to keep you guys long, but I'm really excited to cover this team. I think there's a lot of new faces, and that can be a very nerve-wracking from a fan perspective, but I think there's also some really cool stuff happening from even the guys that we were talking about who've been there for a while, where we're seeing them take new roles, and that's a really interesting thing. And this team is kind of, like you said, they're morphing, they're not rebuilding, so how this goes and all that, we'll have some really exciting stuff coming up.
Well, from your perspective, it's got to be great, right? You just end up with the same roster every year and no change. You got to create material out of whole cloth. But with a whole new run of players, it really gives you the opportunity to kind of explore and, work on your craft while talking about new and exciting different things going on with the team. So good for you.
Yeah,
it's also exciting, I would say, from this team, what they'll be. I think it's really cool to see how the current guys, how does someone like Ed Oliver, take more of a leadership role that they need him to take? Does AJ Epenesa, take that next step, on the field, off the field? How these guys who have been there, adjust to the new faces coming in, I think is also, going to be a really important part, really, for how this season goes for this team.
Super good. Last question for you. There's a whole series of questions that I would love to dig into here.
We're halfway through the list
that I sent you, but I want to respect your time because I want to have you back because this has been a fantastic conversation. Going back to last week, in the pressers from last week, you guys got Joe Brady, and then obviously Josh was on another show with Farrer? It's in my notes here somewhere. Doug Farrer, where he talked about just the offense and stuff like that. But you're talking about Joe Brady. Joe Brady made it, the very first question out of the gate last week was about Josh Allen and Joe Brady. And Joe Brady said, this is Josh Allen's offense. John Fina, Jerry Ostrowski come from an offense where it was clearly Jim Kelly's football team, right? He had Hall of Famers around him all over the place, but everybody knew it was Jim's team. And I think that's the question that I have. Have you seen a difference, or that we would have? Have you seen a difference? Have you seen something different this year where Josh is, and you kind of alluded to it a little bit earlier, he's taking a different step. He's doing a different thing. You can clearly see that, he has asserted himself that this is now his football team.
In some ways, I will say on the football field, it doesn't feel that much different. Watching him at practice, I can't say there's too much where I'm Josh, he's doing something new on the field. We're he was always very vocal. He was always going up to the wide receivers in between periods and having conversations and kind of breaking things down, talking to the coaches. That to me, on the field, I think it's just doing it with new people. I don't know if it's that much change in him really, but like when I see the play calling, I think it'll be interesting to see like how much is Josh Allen running the football this year? Like how much is like some of that coming in? Cause it is, this offense has always revolved around Josh Allen, but like, you're right. Like Joe Brady made a clear intent that like, no, no, even more so like this is Josh Allen's offense. And whether that's giving him more decision-making, giving him more responsibility, like I think it'll be really interesting to see how that goes because Josh is very comfortable with Joe Brady. So how that relationship, they already were from when he was his quarterback coach. So like how that relationship continues to build and the freedom that Joe gives Josh, I think is going to be really interesting to see. But I think even more so like right now it's happening off the field. Like Josh is taking on way more of a, you know, I'm the guy. Like he has been the guy. Like I'm the guy in the sense that like, Micah's gone, Jordan's not here. Like these guys who like were the vets when he came in are gone. He is the guy. Like he's the vet on this team that like when something needs to be said, like Josh wasn't necessarily like he has said, he is not the most like rah, rah, I'm going to give a big speech. Like that's not necessarily how he has led throughout his life. But I think that is where it's changing some, where he realizes now he is that guy. Like he has to be the one that like is talking to everyone on different parts of the team, is having those conversations, is being more vocal and leading in a different way. And he, I think that's, he did need to take on that role and that's new. And I think it's something that, you know, it's, he's dating, what, I don't know when the prime is, but like we're in that, like, I don't want to age Josh or like say we're like firm in that window, but if we're not close, like we're close. If we're not like in that like prime of his career, like he's almost, I mean, he's old is not a good term for someone under the age of 30, but you know what I mean? Like he's more experienced. So he's at that point where he's taking on more of a challenge and that's very clear. So off the field, I think that's already happening where he's kind of being a different Josh Allen and adding to what he was doing.
Super good. Go ahead, John.
No, I was just going to say that's great insight. I think the dovetail on that is, you know, we talk about more responsibility, Josh owning the offense. To me, I'm thinking the collaborative nature of, you know, the tools that I have and how we can utilize them best by beg, borrowing, and stealing from what we see around the league. You know, what other thing, what other teams are doing with motion and just even the, you know, the route trees that they run and being able to make some changes that Mark Trabroda used to make in Buffalo before I got here. And one of the things that came to light was some of the discussions I heard. Mark Trabroda had a different passing attack for the red zone against every team because he really studied, knew the weaknesses from the 25-yard line in. And that didn't happen. You know, when I was there for the two Super Bowl years, it was a little bit like running the same thing over and it, the predictability of it. So Josh's ability to learn more about football, help to develop the philosophy, the strategy is where I'm kind of excited to see how he and Brady can make it even more exciting.
Yeah, for sure. And we've seen them like, sorry, to add to that point, like we've seen them kind of add different pieces to this offense, like especially from the height perspective, like to the wide receiver room, like they've added different talent that they didn't have before. Like Keon Coleman is a body size that was not on this roster. Like, you know, like they're adding,
there's five of them that are 6'4".
There's so many of them. And like even to the running back room, like Ray Davis to me is a really intriguing addition to this offense. What they do at tight end could be a whole nother conversation. Like I that really resonated because I think we're also seeing them do that from like a talent perspective where it's like, okay, what if we give Josh like all these different pieces to work with and like that he didn't have before? How can that be effective too? And going to be interesting to see.
We could spend the next 3 hours talking to you, Elena, but you have been working all day long. You've been out there all day long baking in the hot Buffalo sun. But thank you so much for joining us. And I can't wait. And I speak for John as well to get you back on the show. So thank you so much for joining us one more time. Tell everybody where they can find you.
At A. Getzenberg on all social media platforms and then at ESPN.com.
Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been tuned into On the Beat on the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Network. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Thank you to Elena for joining us, for me, for John, for Jerry, for Elena. Go Bills!
Go Bills!